Okay, Shalom Aleichem. A good tevach. I apologize for our delay. But we'll start Bezos Hashem. We're going to continue what we began last week. The Cheshbon HaNefesh of the Chovos HaLevavot. It's going through the Chovos HaLevavot's 30 perspectives on, well, on everything, on ourselves, on the world, on where we stand in the world. Yes. Thank you. Today's shiur will be dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas Shmuel ben Yitzchok Yaakov, Sir Stan Mars, a very wonderful resident of our neighborhood who I was very close with, was nifted 5 years ago. Okay, so we're going to, thank you. So we'll continue what we began. If you have a sefer, it's Hashlishi. If someone reminds me, I can bring printouts in future weeks. But if you don't have a sefer, you'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah, use operate when we do the
Chovos HaLevavot, right.
that hasn't gone to death fish, we were not the other one, Sharbi Tahoe, we were bringing, but we got out of the habit.
Right. Okay, I'm happy to bring printouts. Okay, let's see.
Did you know where it's on Safari?
On what?
On Safari, Opus Halavodos is on Safari. Yeah.
I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar. If you were to just try to search for it, I guess it would be Chovo.
Right, I was just wondering what chapter, what section you're in.
Okay, yeah, it's Cheshbon HaNefesh. Do you see there you have contents there? It's like Cheshbon HaNefesh, chapter 3. Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh. It's one of the last ones. Like
Yeah.
the got it? Okay. Found it? Good. Okay. So Vashlishi, that's what we're up to. The third cheshbon. So let's just recap because the first four are really a build-up. Chovos HaLevavot, loyal to his whole approach, starts by saying that we want to back up all the way to the beginning. Let's just put this into the broader perspective. The Chovos HaLevavot's world, and that's the world he's trying to get us into, the most optimal, the most ideal form of serving Hashem is service of Hashem that's driven by gratitude. Now, in order to serve Hashem as a result of your gratitude, you have to feel gratitude. In order to feel gratitude, you have to be aware of everything you're getting from Hashem. And here's where the Chovos HaLevavot stars. And putting us through what we almost say is like a brain surgery to open up our minds and eyes and hearts to be able to see quite how much we're drowning in Hashem's chasadim, just that we don't usually notice them because of how accustomed we are. And he wants to train us to go back to the drawing board and start seeing everything from zero and appreciating quite how much you're benefiting from Hashem's chesed. So what we saw last week was the first two layers. And that is number one, appreciate the fact that you are not every that you exist. Right? Try to, in your mind, go back to the moment of your own conception and say, wow, that's a big chesed. And from there to the appreciation of the fact that not only were you created, but you were created human. Now, that's not a given because, as we said, most creatures are not human. The vast majority are insects. You were chosen to fill a slot at the very, very top of life. Then, number two was, after your very existence as a human being, appreciating your body, all of its different elements. This, again, is something that he elaborated on in much greater length. Back in the Sha'ar Bechina, here he's indexing it, touching on it. But to really study all the different parts of your body, all your different systems, all your different organs, realize that none of them are givens. For all the organs and body parts and limbs that you have working well, there are people who lack this one, lack that one, and you were chosen to get this perfect package, that perfect package, etc. Now we're up to number three. What's after that? Vashlishi. So number three is nafshay, to contemplate the stakloi, the goydah tovas or the kimalov, of all the different systems that you have working well, which is the greatest of them all? He gives it a league of its own. And the fact that he gave you a working mind, an intellect. So this is something to appreciate because all of your different body parts, all of the different systems that work, all of the different organs, a person who doesn't have a working mind, and we all know such people, a person who doesn't have a working mind, it's almost like doesn't have the means of enjoying any of it in a different world. So, we wake up in the morning, we think, okay? And that is common enough to not even see that as a chesed because yeah, I'm just thinking. But to realize that the faculty, the ability to be able to think, is a whole system in itself that isn't a given either. A lot of things have to be right in order for that to work. It's one of the most complex businesses in terms of the human being. And Hashem granted you that gift of understanding, of intellect. Im habei midos toivos v'chamudos v'nichbados. Along with, he's including this in the package of intellect, the various traits that we have, various aspects of our personality. We call midos. Aspects of your character. Each person is their own individual package as far as that goes. Yesh lo bohem yisroen al achayim shein medabim. This is really what places man, the main thing that places man above the rest of life, all of animal life. Like the pasuk says, he taught us and made us wiser than the beasts of earth and the birds of the sky. See, even when we talk about intelligent animals, all of their intelligence is all still under the reign of the instinct. Meaning, a dog, as intelligent as it might be, is never busy making long-term cheshbonis or moral decisions. He uses his intellect to, in a more skillful way, manifest his instincts. But that's what it is. He has more sophisticated ways of catching other animals or whatever it is. Man is different in the sense that, and this is a very profound point because this is really one of the manifestations of the neshama. This is one of the expressions of the fact that you have a whole other worldly dimension to you. And what's that? Because as we said before, when you look at the animal world, anything about them, whether it comes to natural skills or and also intellect, are all facilitating one thing: self-preservation. The whole animal world is basically that one great campaign of self-preservation. They don't have any midas that work against that. They don't have any midas that compete with their sense of self-preservation. The fear, doing what they need to do to get food. Now, sometimes an animal might take a risk in order to get food, but that's only one instinct against the other. Human being has a whole different dimension where he actually has faculties and tendencies that aren't necessarily in line with preservation. Meaning, you can have a human being who right now wants to get food. And when you're talking about a dog or a cat, that's the only consideration right now. I need to get this food. The human being, another sense, another call it sentiment, faculty might kick in and say, but it isn't right. Don't grab somebody else's food. Now that doesn't facilitate self-preservation. No animal will ever think in these terms. You can get an animal not to take food from your closet. How? By training the animal well enough that you've trained its instincts not to want to take food because it doesn't want to get a smack. Fine. But it'll never be making nobler considerations that rise above self-preservation, taking care of my food, taking care of my existence. So what is it by human being? You can actually have certain things that might kick in and will sometimes compete with those instincts. This is the higher being at play. This is an expression of the fact that you have a higher dimension. It's the neshama. It's the little flashes of neshama that we actually experience in our body. And that's what puts men in a whole different place. It's not more intelligent. But it's not about more intelligent. It's about having a whole different type of intellect, a whole different type of sentimentalities. So we're talking about the intellect, and also another element of this is the whole ability to of conceptual thought, of theoretical thought. No animal, as intelligent as it is busy trying to understand concepts that, again, aren't immediately relevant to its food, to its preservation. Whereas, really, obviously, this is the whole idea of this is for man in his mind and heart to be able to connect to Hashem, to be able to make Hashem a part of his reality. So all of these things where the intellect operates on a track that has nothing to do with self-preservation is an expression of the fact that man is not the most intelligent of beasts. It's a whole different being with a whole different dimension. A dimension, call it the neshama, call it the expression of the chelek el kamim mal, the godliness that's in you. But it is what distinguishes man from all the rest of life. Whatever it is, before we get so fancy, let's just get back to the very idea of intellect. You have a working mind. You have a working mind. And just like we said, when they get to your various organs and systems and body parts, that you've seen people who lack this system or that organ or that body part, so it's not a given. Now we're going to say that about the whole different level when it comes to a working mind. A working mind is not necessarily a given. You are given that great gift, and that is another reason to feel indebted to Hashem and driven to, so to speak, to pay for it or to show your desire to pay for it. Okay, so now, again, he goes on and says, think about if Chas v'Shalom, a person knew that his mind was going, some sort of disease or something, and then there's somebody who's able to save his mind, how grateful he would be to that person. Person knows his mind is going. Chas v'Shalom, let's, I don't know, person goes through some experience or whatever it is, some sort of disease at the age of 30. He knows that his mind is going, but they tell him, but don't worry about it. You'll still be strong. You'll still be able to taste and hear and see and everything. My life is finished. You know, life is ending as far as that goes. So if a person was able to restore that to you, how grateful would you be? Saying, realize that this is a gift given to you personally by Hashem in order to give your life its quality, in order for you to be able to enjoy all the other gifts that Hashem gave you. Okay, we move on to number four. Haravi. And now we move on to the top. And we went from the fact that you exist and you're human. We went from there to your body and all of its parts and organs and systems. We went from there to your mind. And now we're taking it to the peak. And that is Cheshbonah. Now contemplate Hashem's great chesed. And the fact that he gave you access, and this is really something that is not common to all human beings, but he actually gave you access to eternal life. Most human beings, you get your stint in this world, and then you're done. I remember the first time I heard, was it you who told me that everybody dies? At one point, I heard about that at one point in life, at one point when I was about probably. Right, that's right. At 4 or 5 years old, I discovered that piece of information. I resisted it. I don't want to die. You heard about people, most people didn't die in my life, right? You heard about a person dying in a story. Everybody's going to die. I remember just resisting the information as a kid. You know what? Or, you know, I'll put it from another angle. I remember a history teacher that we had telling us why one would say this to a class of 14-year-olds, but he said, a history teacher, he wanted to give us some perspective on history. He said, you guys don't appreciate how insignificant you are. He said, think about it. How many names of people do you know from the 1600s? and realize that you are like the same as all the Tom, Dicks, and Harrys of the 1600s who say you're a tiny sliver in history. Also a very depressing thing to hear as a 14-year-old. But you know what? Ezra Hashem came and said, not true. Not true. It's true for an awful lot of mankind, but you, I'm actually giving you access to the next stage. This is going to be, in your case, this is a short stint. A short stint. Short stint, when I say short, I mean, Bezus Hashem, for each of us, at least 150 years. Okay? But that's still short relative to the billions of years that come afterwards. I say at least 150 years. I didn't say 150 years. I said at least 150 years. Not limiting it.
Question, but like non-Jewish people, they just die and that's it. What about Gilgalim or whatever? They come back and somebody else, something isn't, doesn't that happen? I don't know. I never heard that non-Jewish people just die and then it's all over. That's
So I don't know the full extent of it. We do so. Okay, the truth is that we do see. This is the difference. Well, let me ask you about this. What about? No, we see that there is a difference between. No, non-Jews do have an eternality also. We see in the Gemara that there were non-Jews who were in the Chelek Olam HaBa, and we also see the Gemara talking about the eternal punishment of the wicked non-Jews. We do see that. You're right. Yet we do have to appreciate that it's not the same level. And also more than that. And you know what? We should really fine-tune it. This is really the point that he's making. You were spoon-fed all the information needed to maximize your eternal life. So you're right. We're going to tweak that. Every human being does have the opportunity, although it does seem at a lower level, meaning we talk in terms of nefesh, ruach, neshama, meaning when we talk about the soul in English, it's a one all-encompassing word, the soul. But the truth is that the soul has many different levels to it that go higher and higher. In a broad way, we talk about three levels of the soul. I'm not using the English word specifically because in Hebrew, nefesh means one thing, neshama means another thing, etc. We have the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama. It goes higher than that, but we don't usually relate to that. And all human beings have a nefesh, and that nefesh can have eternality. They don't always. They can have eternality. But the level of neshama does seem to be exclusive to the Bnei Yisrael. And that is really that highest level of the full quality of the eternal existence. But whatever the case is, okay, let's say everybody has the opportunity to eternal existence. But the chesed that Hashem gave you is that he gave you a manual, giving it down to a T, how to get the most. So this is the gift that he gave you. He is giving you the information, El Mashiyesh by how to really cash in on that life in both worlds. The Torah, which gives you all that information. Ivroinoi, it's there to take away your blindness, and to take away your foolishness. Meaning as follows. People are born into this world with a very superficial, basic sense of what this world is about. Meaning, a human being is born into this world. What's one of the first things they figure out? They're trying to figure out what's this world about. They're not wondering that when they're an infant, right? What's the first thing they figure out? One of the first things they figure out is that I have taste buds, and there are things out there that are a good match to my taste buds. They figure that out at the age of an hour. I don't know exactly what. And they can stay, well, that is the meaning of existence. So they could stay with that understanding for 100 years, right? And you're missing out on what this world really has to offer. I have a funny mashal. I'll give you the mashal that I say to my kids. And imagine a tribe somewhere in the depths of the jungles in Africa. Now, they've never seen anything that has to do with civilization. They're still living in the same way they lived for 1,000 years. And one day, people from the tribe, they come across a big metallic thing, okay, which has, glass windows. They don't know what glass is. Well, in short, a car. They discover a car outside their village. They have no idea what it is. They have no idea what it is. They see it first. They think it's a human being. They think it's a living thing. They attack it with spears. It's just sitting there. They finally figure out that it's inanimate. Okay, so what is this thing about? They don't know, but it's sitting there. Until that one day, one of the natives, as he's coming up to look at this big apparition again, and he's standing right next to him, he suddenly sees a different native looking him in the face. But he doesn't see the whole body, just sees a little piece of the face. Okay, everybody figured out what's going on? Figured it out. What?
Mirror.
Exactly. He suddenly saw the rearview mirror. He suddenly discovered the rearview mirror. Now he thinks he's seeing another person. He doesn't know there's such a thing as a mirror. But whatever it is, he tries to hit the person. He just bangs his knuckles and he's trying to figure out what's going on. And if he makes a fearsome face, that person makes a fearsome face. If he smiles, that person smiles. They bring the wise men of the village and they study it and they actually figure out that this is a reflection. It's like a totally amazing discovery. And now they understand the meaning of this huge metal apparatus. You can look at it and see yourself. Now they discovered the meaning of a car. Okay. Now, why you need all the rest of that metal? Okay, that they'll still study. Apparently, you need all that metal in order to be able to see yourself in that little thing. What's that? It holds it in place. That's right. You need all that metal to hold it in place. Okay. So for many years, they discover this amazing thing and they come out, the people of the town come out to look at themselves, and now they can make their war paint more sophisticated. And now they discovered this thing called a mirror. And then one day again, some of the wise men of the village are there playing with this apparatus. And one of them suddenly somehow ends up inside the car, lies down, this cushioned bed, right? The back seat. He said, "Wow, up till now we thought we understood the meaning of this thing. It's a mirror. It's a bed like we've never experienced." And they start a rotation. The different people in the town take turns coming out to sleep on this bed. Now they really got to the depth of what a car is. What's the nimshel here? Now, the nimshel here is that a person comes into this world. What is this world about? What's this world about? So, like we said before, it's a very easy discovery to make. I have taste buds. They can keep me busy for 100 years, and it can begin and end with that. And you've discovered the mirror. People can discover that there are other good times. But then you have the one who's actually given the manual. No, this world has so much more to it. And this world actually has billions of years of significance. If you just know how to tap into it right and utilize the opportunities that this world has. But you're not naturally going to figure out Shabbos, this mitzvah, that mitzvah. You're not naturally going to figure that out. What you'll figure out is the material elements of it. And this is where Hashem gave us that next gift, that gift of a detailed manual, if you will, telling you exactly how to access all the secrets of this world in order to gain that high quality existence for the following billions of years. So that's what the Torah is here for. You come into this world blind. There's so much depth to this world, but you don't see it. You just see the material screen in front of you. And the Torah is there to make you be able to see through it all and see that this world is one great medium of what? Lakrivoy el ritzoyin elikov, to bring you into Hashem's favor. V'toydienu amitas boiroi. It tells you about Hashem. That's really the secret to the whole world. U'mashu chayev loy. And what Hashem expects of you, it clues you in. Otherwise, you go through your whole life blind. Asher b'tishlam atzlochos b'shnei. And that's what's actually granting you the ultimate success. That's the way to really get the maximum out of both of these worlds. Like the Torah says, Tehillim says, Teras Hashem Tumim, Ameshivas Nofesh, today, okay, etc. Okay. So that is the next level of gratitude to have toward Hashem. That he's actually handing us on a silver platter all the information. I want to bring that out from another angle also. Let's appreciate that up until Avraham Avinu, all that information was there. I mean, the fact that this world is meant to be utilized to connect to Hashem, to access his will and thereby to gain the eternal existence. That was true from the very beginning. But the information wasn't handed over. It was up to each individual to see if they could figure it out. And that's not a simple thing. We'd be able to figure that out by ourselves. How many people figured it out? So you had other Marisha knew it, Hevel knew it, Chase knew it. But then after that, it says mankind as a whole lost it. And it says 10 generations went by, millions of people totally missed the boat. Avraham Avinu came along and figured it out. And then again, Noach figured it out, Avraham Avinu figured it out. But what would our chance be of figuring it out? It would be one person every 1,000 years, right? One person every 500 years. David HaMelech would have figured it out. Hillel would have figured it out. So, and basically what Hashem, the message in those earlier times that what Hashem was saying, that's right, it's worth it for me to create a world of millions of people so that one person in every few million will figure it out. But then Hashem came and gave a gift because of how close Avraham Avinu got himself with Hashem. Hashem ultimately said, you know what? I'm going to actually pamper your children. I'm going to hand all the information to them in a silver platter. They're going to have it all down to a T. In earlier times, people had to figure out to various degrees of success. Even if you could figure out the broad concepts, there were people in those generations who knew the broad concepts, and that's great, right? But to get every last detail as to how to get as close as could possibly be to Hashem, Avraham Avinu got there. And then afterwards, part of what he earned was that it was then handed over on a silver platter to all of us. So that is the next level of appreciation. So if we're summing it up, this is this piece. These first four are a layered buildup. First of all, go back and think about the fact that you could have not existed at all. And Hashem decided, I want a you. Hashem pictured you and decided, I want you in existence. He had a personal connection with you before you existed. He was picturing you and envisioning you. I want this person. You came into being as a human being. He granted you that existence. And not only that, gave you a working body with all of those different parts, all the different limbs, all the organs. Each one is a whole library in itself. And each of those different organs and systems and limbs that you have is something that there's someone out there would be willing to pay $100,000 to get it. And then gave you a working mind. And in addition to that, he gave you the status of Yisrael with all of the information of the Torah, enabling you to get to the highest places for your eternal existence, not just for the 150 years here. But for billions of years, it's up to you to decide. Today, you can read about these billionaires, and you can only like look at like it's like fantasy land, the levels of luxury that they live in. But the realization that it's only in these 150 fleeting years, but it's totally in your hands to determine that level of luxury that you'll be living in for the billions of years that will follow. Gift that Hashem gave you, the ability to do that. So let's begin the fifth. Like I said, those four were kind of like a series. Let's begin the fifth. Hachamishi. Number five is, and this kind of builds off the previous one, but it's kind of like its own. Sheachshav im nafshoy b'hisachroi. Think about the slack that you're giving yourself in terms of really understanding the Torah, and giving yourself time before you really whip yourself into a path of growth. Meaning, if you appreciate quite the gift that Hashem gave you, giving you such a detailed Torah, and realizing that every moment of life is an opportunity to up your standing in the next world. But the feeling is, okay, I have a lot of time. The Chayyim Salavas wants to whip us onto a path of constant active growth. And you don't feel like, okay, Lot, lot. So, he says as follows. We don't know what kings were. Maybe if there are English women here, maybe have a little bit more of a concept, but also not really. Meaning the kings today, at least in England, don't have the ability to totally change your life this way or that way. But in earlier times, when a king was an absolute ruler, if you suddenly got a letter from a king, sealed letter addressed to you, this probably meant something life-changing, meaning either it meant that you're in big trouble, or it meant that you're being offered some sort of opportunity. Let's say that you are a textile dealer, okay? A sealed letter from the king might mean that he wants to commission you to renovate his palace, reupholster his palace, right? That's an opportunity to put you into a whole different place in terms of wealth, right? Or maybe what he's saying is he wants to hire you, not just to reupholster his palace, but for the maintenance of the palace's upholstery. That's a whole different level. Or he might have meant something entirely different. Whatever it is, when you're holding this closed envelope, there is unbelievable potential and suspense in terms of where is this bringing me to? And you'll sit down, you'll open it up, and there's a letter, but it's written in very poetic terms. It's not written in a very straightforward way. You're going to sit down and sweat. I want to understand what is being stated to me here, what's being offered to me here. So he says, realize that this is what the Torah is. Don't take it easy. I'll note that this is one of the understandings of why Torah, Limud Torah, learning Torah is such a great mitzvah. Meaning, you won't find, I don't think, I'm not a big bucky on religions, but I can't imagine that you're going to find a religion anywhere that is anywhere near the level of attention that's given to the instructions that are issued by God, right? Hashem gave instructions and how the people would sit down, and it's not just the clergy. Everybody sits down to break their heads over understanding precisely what Hashem meant with each mitzvah. And to analyze it, and did he mean this? Did he mean that? And what are its implications, et cetera, et cetera. The whole field of learning Torah, of Torah study, is a major expression on the part of us, of Klal Yisrael, on quite how much we appreciate and revere the fact that Hashem is actually issuing us an instruction that enables us to connect with Him. So, on the one hand, we do demonstrate that. You've heard me say a few times, certain critiques of the expression people of the book. But we are the people of the book in that sense. I don't think any other nation can compare to us in terms of there are laws, how much attention and effort and toil would have to sweat over breaking it down and understanding every crumb of a word of Hashem.
But you don't know where it's from. You don't get that personal letter. You don't see it as Hashem. Like for people who grow up from, okay, they see Hashem gave them the Torah, but let's say you just grow up completely secular. So where's that personal letter from Hashem to that secular person?
So you know what? If we just answer the question in a very straightforward way, without getting into the ins and outs of why Hashem does what with each neshama, we'll just say a simple thing. You're right. The message of the Chovas HaLevavos here is, if you were privileged to get it, appreciate it, right? Just like we'll say, the person who Chas V'Shalom was born without arms, legs, and without working kidneys, and with serious heart problems. How is he supposed to relate to the second one here? And we'll say, okay, for him it's going to be more challenging. But you did get it, and therefore the Chovas HaLevavos is talking to you.
Jews don't get
See, so first he's talking to the Jews who did. Meaning, first of all, he's saying, did you get it? Appreciate it. Now, how do we explain those who didn't? Okay, here we're getting into the much broader discussions of That Hashem has his very specific plan with each neshama and what he's going to become exposed to when and what Hashem expects of him. But say to yourself, I don't know why he did it, but Hashem did decide to privilege me, whether it was from birth, whether it was at the age of 20, or whether it was at the age of 50. On the contrary, seeing people who didn't get it, we want to understand and we want to help them, etc. But that itself should enhance our appreciation of being one of those who did. Okay, whatever it is, he's admonishing us and saying, if you appreciate the opportunity and the potential that it holds, don't sit back. Get busy. Get busy. Life moves. Every moment is an opportunity. Apply yourself. Are you living this way? This is the Cheshbon number five that he wants you to make. How are you applying yourself to this program that Hashem laid out for you and handed to you on a silver platter? Okay, we're in the middle of it. We'll see. We never continue next week. Sir, oh, well.